Intelligent Transportation Systems Podcast. Hi again, welcome. This is the ITS Podcast episode 12 for April 2014. I'm Javier Sanchez Medina from the IEEE Intelligent Transportation Systems Society. Here we are again with new hot stuff right from the ITS Knowledge Frontier. We have prepared some content for your enjoyment, like a very nice interview with Professor Miguel Ángel Sotelo from University of Alcalá in Spain, about visual lights, a tremendous project he has led to automatically inspect traffic signs and panels. As usual, we also have a transportation history, this time about the epic history of the current water speed record, and a fascinating music mini section with a brand new event from Bislab at Italy. Yeah, that Italian folks just don't know how to stop. They are just presenting a new beautiful autonomous car they call Diva. So let's jump into it. We hope you enjoy it.
This is the news mini section for episode 12, April 2014. We have new stuff coming from Bislab again. Bislab is presenting their new autonomous vehicle prototype called Diva. That name resembles another Italian word for prima donna. It is the latest prototype vehicle developed by Bislab, equipped with fully integrated sensors, including more than 20 cameras, 4 lasers, GPS, IMU, etc., allowing it to cover a very detailed 360 view of the surroundings. Through this concept car, Bislab is demonstrating that the use of a technology based on artificial vision allows to achieve two main objectives, therefore making it possible to consider it a very close to a final product. These objectives are low cost and high integration level. If you want to check out this beautiful prototype or links to this event, you can visit this podcast website at itsp.ciei.com.
Transportation in history. Do you know what happened on October 8, in 1978, at Tamak River, 100 kilometers from Canberra, Australia? A 39-year-old Australian boat racer earned the world speed record on a boat. Until then, every water speed record had been set by an American on Brighton. However, King Warby designed and built a prototype called Spirit of Australia. He picked a Westinghouse J34 jet engine, able to produce a thrust of more than 15,000 Newton, a powerful engine mainly used for military aircraft at that time. He happily bought it as a military surplus for only $69. So he built a cockpit of good and fiberglass and started trying to break the 500 km per hour level in 1977. And he certainly did. His record stands today. On October 8, 1978, he reached an average speed of 317 miles per hour or 511 km per hour, with a peak of nothing less than 345 miles per hour. There has been many trials since then, some of them with fatal endings. In 1980, the American pre-Warby water speed record owner Lee Taylor tried to get the record back. He built a rocket-powered boat called Discovery 2. He tried to do it at Lake Tahoe in Nevada. Since the weather conditions weren't good enough, he decided to do just a test run, so as not to disappoint spectators, sponsors and media. Unfortunately, at a speed of 270 miles per hour, the boat became unstable and crashed, and the body of Taylor could only be recovered 3 days later. In 1989, Craig Alphons tried again with another prototype made of fiberglass and Kevlar, called Rain-X Challenger. He also died at a speed of 301 miles per hour. There are many current projects trying to break that record, but it hasn't happened thus far. So there is still a 75-year-old proud Aussie who holds that amazing and terrifying record in his hand, maybe bragging to his grandkids about it. Have you ever thought how are traffic lights and panels inspected and maintained? It looks to be an expensive and slow process, isn't it? Well, maybe that's over after a very interesting, evergreening project that Professor Miguel Ángel Sotelo and his team has developed in Spain. If you're interested, just don't move. You'll hear more about it right after these words. Have you ever been affected by a traffic sign or a panel in poor maintenance status that cannot be read in some conditions? Have you ever wondered how is this maintained? At the last IEEE ITSC 2013 conference, the Intelligent Transportation Systems Society awarded Professor Miguel Ángel Sotelo from University of Alcalá in Spain with the IEEE ITS Outstanding Application Award for his system so-called Visualize. We will talk about this later, but let's welcome our guest now. Hello, Miguel Ángel. Thanks for joining us. Congratulations on that award. Can you please introduce yourself to our audience?
Hello, Javier. Thanks a lot for your kind words and for your invitation to speak for the ITS podcast. Yes, of course, I can introduce myself to the audience. I am Miguel Ángel Sotelo, full professor at the University of Alcalá in Alcalá de Henares, a city nearby Madrid in Spain. I have been involved on research on intelligent vehicles for more than 20 years and with an especially intense activity in the ITS society in the last 12 years.
Oh, great. Miguel Ángel, Visualize stands for Visual Inspection of Signs and Panels. Could you please explain us about this system?
Yeah, sure. In a sense, Visualize is a system designed for the automatic inspection of traffic signs, visibility and readability. As everybody knows, traffic signs and overhead panels are made of sheeting reflective materials. And traffic sign sheeting materials now use technology with small glass beads or prismatic reflectors that allow light from vehicle headlights to be reflected back to the vehicle and the driver's eyes, and making the sign appear more bright and visible to the driver. Visibility and readability of traffic signs is essential for road safety, as you can imagine. In this aspect, Visualize assessment of visibility and readability is based on the so-called retroreflectivity coefficient, where retroreflectivity is a term used to describe how light is reflected off of a surface, in this case a traffic sign, and returned to its original source, the retroreflector, that in this case is the driver's eyes. It's not that the driver's eyes is the light-emitting source, but it is very close to the vehicle headlight. Okay, the Visualize system contains a number of sensor technologies on board an inspection vehicle, mainly high-resolution monochrome and color stereo vision, as well as an active strobe light aimed at compensating for the effect of the background illumination, so to speak. Thus, retroreflectivity measured by Visualize is strictly due to an active calibrated light source. The final output of Visualize is a report containing information about all traffic signs installed on the road, their position, their geometric features, and their photometric characteristics. I mean, the retroreflectivity of the different parts that constitute the body of the signs. This is the sign foreground, pictogram, pictures, etc., the sign background, and the sign edge or border. This report is handed out to road administration authorities so that they can consider undertaking the appropriate maintenance actions.
Mm-hmm. Seems quite complex. Miguel Ángel, this project has been deployed in quite a few of countries. Could you please tell us?
Yes, Visualize has been used for measurements and tests in several countries. Indeed, it was first used in Spain in 2009. In a retroreflectivity measurement campaign for the Spanish Road Administration. That was the first time that Visualize was deployed on the field. We did some 18,000 kilometers of inspection in that campaign. After that, additional inspections have been carried out for other private or public road administrations all across the country, I mean in Spain also, as well as in Portugal. Then some tests have also been performed in other countries like the U.S., in Huntsville, Texas, and Minnesota, in Austria on urban scenarios, in Vienna, Poland in Warsaw and Konin on conventional roads, and Italy on urban and highway environments in Rome. All these tests have been conducted by a Spanish company, Euroconsult, which funded the research together with our university and is currently in charge of the commercial exploitation of Visualize.
Mm, great. Miguel Ángel, you probably have the numbers on how do signs and panels Maintenance affects safety. Is it an important element to consider?
Yes, definitely it is, of course, but it's extraordinarily difficult to quantify the real effects of road signs and maintenance in detail. Anyway, I will try to provide some approximate figures to give you an idea of what we talk about. Let me start by saying that the Federal Highway Administration, the FHA in the U.S., is permanently working on improving the quality and visibility of traffic signs. And the reason for that is that the FHA acknowledges that traffic fatalities are 3 times higher at night. This is a very first figure that we can give. On the other hand, the retroreflectivity of traffic signs gets significantly degraded with the passing of time, in such a way that signs need to be replaced from time to time, depending on the type of sheeting, reflecting material, and the kind of road where they are mounted, also the type of a scenario where the sign is located. And also, it depends on whether it is a solder-mounted sign, a sign that is mounted on the road, or if it is an overhead panel. Just to give an example, the retroreflectivity value of a traffic sign mounted on a secondary road can be halved. It can lose 50% of its nominal value in a period between 5-10 years. So please consider that the sheeting materials are designed in such a way that traffic signs can be or should be properly visible and readable by the drivers from a distance at least between 100 and 150 meters or so. So reducing the sign visibility may well signify the difference between correct visibility and limited or late visibility, which can directly translate in higher chance of fatalities at night when most of the road fatalities take place. For example, drivers traveling an unfamiliar road may search for identification in street signs and risk not paying close attention to driving. When there is a lack of visible and detailed signs, especially at nighttime, the chance of traffic accidents can increase. If we put all the pieces together, we come up with a conclusion, which is quite a straightforward one, that traffic signs maintenance affects road safety in the most critical situations, i.e. at night, when 75% of fatalities occur. In addition, some field studies have empirically demonstrated that roads with zero accidents exhibit 5 main characteristics, being the proper visibility of traffic signs and markers one of them. So it's very, very significant in terms of road safety.
Mm-hmm. And how about the economic impact? Have you estimated the savings of using such system instead of the traditional method, usually based on human inspection, sign by sign and panel by panel?
Concrete figures are extremely difficult to assess and no one dares provide exact numbers. However, we can try to give some approximate figures. Okay, let me develop my rationale to provide an answer to your question. There are 2 general types of traffic sign maintenance methods. Traditional maintenance methods. One is the assessment methods and the other one is the so-called management methods. In assessment methods, retroreflectivity is either visually inspected by a human operator at night, and this operator decides whether or not the sign is visible according to his or her criteria, or retroreflectivity is measured using some type of manual handheld device that is called retroreflectometer. The retroreflectometer, as I say, is a handheld device that is put in contact with the sheeting material, with the material the sign is made of, in order to perform the measurement. It's like a gun, like a pistol.
So they have to climb to the panel or something?
Exactly. I will comment on that in a few minutes. That's one of the problems of this type of systems. The first possibility, based on visual inspection, is enormously inaccurate, as you can imagine, while the second one is very much time-consuming and dangerous, and this is very much in line with your comment, Javier. Why is it dangerous? Because you need operators working on the road using ladders to climb, and they put warning signaling beacons on the road, so it's dangerous. Signs have to be measured one-on-one. You have to take several measures on each sign and average them. It takes a huge amount of time and a huge amount of money, too. You can measure just a few signs per day. That's for you to have an idea. In addition, overhead panels are extremely difficult to measure using these methods because they are not solder mounted, and consequently, traffic should be stopped in a given road in order to have access to all the overhead panels. All in all, these methods, I'm still talking about the first type of methods, the assessment methods, can be regarded as highly inefficient from the economic point of view. Not from the technical one, from the economic point of view, are very inefficient. If you remember, I said that there are two types of maintenance methods. Let me speak about the second one, which is management methods. In this case, signs are replaced based on their expected life on a case-by-case basis, or following some other type of criteria, like, for example, the blanket replacement criteria. It means that all signs in a corridor are replaced at specified intervals, no matter if they are okay or not, because nobody provides any measurement. Measurements do not take place in this kind of management methods. So in this case, you lose part, or let me say, you may lose part of the sign service life. Although, on the contrary, and to compensate the first effect, you can save money on inspections. According to some empirical studies, and I'm going to try to give some figures now to answer your question, the number of staff hours that are needed in assessment methods is 3 times the number of staff hours needed in management methods. While, on the contrary, the service life lost per sign in assessment methods is 1/3 compared to management methods. So far, it seems that the situation between assessment and management methods is balanced, more or less. But we are still speaking about traditional methods. However, what makes a significant difference is the use of automatic technology like Visualize, mobile technology, to carry out the measurements from a moving vehicle driving at highway speed, 100, 120 kilometers per hour, as Visualize does. Given that in this case, the number of staff hours per sign gets extraordinarily decreased, significantly decreased. According to my personal experience, I would dare say that the use of mobile technology derives in a saving ratio in terms of staff hours that varies between 4 and 5 with respect to other traditional assessment measurement methods, for example. Mm-hmm. This implies huge savings, huge economic savings with respect to traditional maintenance methods.
Big money. Well, what kind of vision system do you implement in your system? What is your receipt to detect that parameter retroreflectivity?
Okay, my secret receipt will...
if you can share it.
Yeah, we'll share the public part of it. Let me measurement the retroreflectivity using vision as we implement it in Visualize. It's very much based on standard photometry and geometry vision-based methods. And indeed, our vision system has a couple of high-resolution color cameras, and the bulk of the image processing system performs the detection and recognition of shapes in quite a traditional way in order to identify traffic signs and panels in the scene. And this includes shapes of all possible types in the road scene, like triangles, circles, rectangles, trapezoid shapes, etc. The key issue is that all types of signs have to be detected, including small milestones. In a second step, the constituent parts of traffic signs have to be identified and clustered, yielding the foreground, background, and sign border. This is one of the trickiest operations in the system. An error in this phase has a significant impact on measurement accuracy, because you can mess up the pixels corresponding to the foreground with the pixels corresponding to the background. So you can mess up pixels of different colors or different parts of the sign, and this has, as I say, an impact, a significant impact on measurement accuracy. So after that, a color is identified for each detected part using machine learning techniques, and we put it all together. Up to this point, nothing seems really new from the algorithmic methodological point of view, but the point is that all operations must be really accurate, extraordinarily accurate, in order to render a useful system. The value of retroreflectivity is then computed using a number of variables, namely the measured color, the entrance and observation angles that depend on the road geometry, the position of the vehicle, on the different lanes, and so on. And very importantly, it also depends on a set of parameters that are computed offline during the photometric calibration stage. This is quite an important stage in the system. I insist in that the key of the algorithmic development, where, let's say, the magic lies, is the accuracy of their different components. Otherwise, the result would be useless. So my recipe for this, to give a concrete answer to your question, is accuracy of Bayesian-based processes, first point. Second, accuracy of the photometric calibration for all possible different colors that you can encounter on a road traffic scene.
Mm-hmm. Great, thanks for that. Okay, we have now to make a short break, but we'll be back very soon, so stay tuned. Hello again. Thanks for listening to this periodical publication. We really appreciate it. It's great to see how our followers keep on growing and growing with every episode. However, we still need to ask you for some help. Don't you think there might be many colleagues out there that would like it as much as you do? Come on, give us a hand. If you're a good follower, help us disseminate this new publication, you may even win an iPad. This is your last chance. We are running a contest to find the best follower of this show and will be open only until April 30. Yeah, April 30. We're just deciding who is the most active listener based on activities to inform others about ITS podcasts using Facebook, Google+, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And if you really want to win, you may go even beyond and disseminate our show using your university distribution list or any other broadcast way you can imagine. If you still want to fight for that iPad, we just need to get proof of your efforts to our email address, itsspodcast@gmail.com. itsspodcast@gmail.com. Please check out itsp.ciceei.com for more information about this contest. Okay, let's keep on now with Professor Sotelo's interview. We're back with Professor Miguel Ángel Sotelo from University of Alcalá talking about his system visualized for detecting the state of maintenance of panels and traffic signs. Miguel Ángel, how is your system robust with respect to atmospheric conditions, etc.? For example, can it operate in nighttime?
Yes, this mobile technology can definitely be used at nighttime, and indeed, I would say that it has to be compulsorily used at nighttime, given their technical nature. Let me explain a little bit, please. While driving the visualized vehicle on the highway or on the road, the strobe light, as I mentioned before, is used to illuminate the road scene so that traffic signs can be seen brighter than usual. Apart from that, the use of a strobe light is a well-known technique that allows to remove the effect of background illumination. By background illumination, I don't only mean, let's say, artificial illumination on the roads and streets, but also the own vehicle, the ego vehicle headlights. The effect of those lights had to be removed, as well as to remove the effect of other vehicles' headlights. Thus, if we do so, retroreflectivity measured this way is due to the active light, to the strobe active light source alone, which is calibrated and well characterized, and it is not caused by any other light sources. As I mentioned, the vehicle headlights or artificial illumination. That cannot be systematically characterized. It's completely out of your control. So this feature makes the system applicable at nighttime. On the other hand, it would be simply impossible to use such a technique in daytime, given that the sunlight overrides any type of light source emitted from the vehicle, any type of artificial light, and the use of a strobe light becomes unfeasible from the technical point of view. On the other hand, yes, the atmospheric conditions do affect measurements clearly. For example, these technologies should never be used in rainy or foggy weather under any circumstances. In addition, measurements should not be carried out when the percentage of humidity in the ambient is above a certain value. And this is based on the fact that the perceived retroreflectivity does not correspond to the true value in those conditions. But in any case, let me say that these are basic precautions and limitations that all photometric measurement systems have to respect. So this is not let's say something only common to visualize, is common to all systems, all measurement systems of this type.
Mm-hmm. Miguel, I think it is not easy when it comes down commercializing this system. What is this? So is it a too expensive system? What is the limiting factor you find?
Okay, mobile measurement technologies in the raw inspection industry are not cheap. Okay, they have never been cheap indeed. And this is a limiting factor for sure. But there are, in my view, other factors that play a significant role in this case. Whenever you develop a new technology in this field, you must demonstrate that your technology meets the technical requirements that are requested by industry. Otherwise, it will be impossible to convince potential customers to hire or to purchase your equipment, as you can imagine. Given that mobile technologies for retroreflectivity measurements are relatively new, it is highly recommendable to submit your system to a standardized tests in some internationally recognized institution that can endorse your system as a valid measurement device. This is a guarantee for you. In our case, we decided to test Visualize at Texas Transportation Institute in 2012. The system was tested in several scenarios, including open roads in real traffic conditions at nighttime, of course. The results, which are public for everybody to read, were quite successful, satisfactory, proving the capability of Visualize to measure the retroreflectivity with a sufficient level of accuracy for industry in all conditions. So this sort of certification supports your system and opens up the door to talk to potential customers with technical guarantees. Apart from certifications, the commercial strategy is crucial. It's another key factor, of course, but maybe this is a little bit out of the scope of a scientific society like the ITSS.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay, Miguel, let me make one final question of a very different nature. You've been recently appointed as editor-in-chief of the successful ITS magazine after serving brilliantly as editor-in-chief of the society's newsletter. Are you excited about it?
Yes, sure, of course. It's my pleasure to take on this responsibility as the new editor-in-chief of the IEEE Intelligent Transportation Systems magazine. All I can say is that I feel really glad, excited, and honored, immensely honored, in this new position. I will try to continue the efficient, brilliant, and timely work carried out by my predecessors in the position, like Jeffrey Miller and Christoph Stieler, and I will try to keep the quality of the journal and, if possible, to improve it. I feel really, as I say, honored in this position.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Miguel Ángel. This is it. I really appreciate your collaboration with the show, and I hope you succeed with that system. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Javier. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Well, this one is over. But we are already excited preparing our next episode. We will be back next month, but you can always listen our previous episodes. Please feedback us with your comments on how you like them. We love to notice you are actually there listening to this podcast because we sincerely work for you. This podcast is sponsored by the IEEE Intelligent Transportation Systems Society, web designed and managed by the Innovation Center for the Information Society at the University of Las Palmas de Gran Canaria in Spain. Soundtrack developed by Rubicon, language advisory by Manuel Arvelo and Professor Sean Williams from Clemson University, South Carolina. We'll be back soon bringing you again the cutting edge of science at the Intelligent Transportation Systems podcast. Thanks for listening and drive safe.